You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The hunt for the family of a stranded baby orca alongside the Kapiti coast is continuing into the fourth day. The four-month-old orca named Toa was discovered stranded on Plimerton Beach, which is north of Porirua, on Sunday. Rescuers have been keeping watch on Toa, and he has been in a positive condition, while volunteers have been flying up and down the Kapiti coast to locate Toa's pod. There had been several reported sightings from the past 48 hours, but nothing has been confirmed, and there have been no reported orca pod sightings this morning. The sea and air search has been halted pending more reported sightings for today. However, the weather in the region is expected to worsen over the next 24 hours, and the Department of Conservation is now planning to strengthen Toa's temporary pen, which is located in Plimerton Boat Club. Professor Karen Stockton is from Massey University School of Natural and Computational Science, and I spoke to her about this, and I began by asking if it is common to see an orca calf being left behind without their pod.
To be fair, I kind of feel that this calf really didn't as such strand away from its pod. It would have stranded in the context of its pod being with it. What's happened is it's basically stranded itself and its pod have moved away. So it's not like it was ever separated from its pod to begin with. It's the fact that it's become stranded and then subsequently been separated, if that makes sense. And so the fact that the orca feed around the shallows is not that surprising, because obviously typically they're often hunting stingray. And I'm sure, no doubt, because we know with orca and with many other dolphins, but particularly the orca and the bottlenose, they do have cultural transmission of feeding foraging. So in other words, they do teach their calves how to forage and how to be, you know, doing these things. So the fact that the calf was in the shallows with its parents kind of makes a lot of sense, because the bottom line is, I'm sure they were probably all actively feeding at the time that the calf unfortunately got stuck on the rocks.
Right, but how difficult is it for a four-month-old calf like Toa to survive on its own, even like if under human care?
It's incredibly difficult from the point of view of the fact that there's a couple of things. You've got the nutritional needs of the animals, which at the moment is being met as best as possible by humans, as in through electrolytes and through formula and things like that. So that's one thing. But of course, the biggest aspect to any animal when it's separated, and especially at such a young age, is the potential for stress. You get stress-induced issues, stress myopathy, and the animal needs to keep moving to be able to obviously release its lactate. And basically, there's a lot of stress. That it's in a very unusual environment with a lot of human contact at the moment under very unusual circumstances. So stress continues to be a major issue for this animal, and hence the real importance of reuniting with its own pod as soon as possible.
But what will happen to the calf, like in this case Toa, if we don't find its pod?
The honest answer is I really don't know. The reality of it is obviously the jurisdiction of care of animals when it comes to marine mammals in New Zealand falls to the Department of Conservation. We are not in a position in the New Zealand context to ever care for an animal in captivity. We do not have facilities, and actually New Zealand has quite a strong stance on captive facilities when it comes to marine mammals. We do not have such facilities in this country anymore. So the reality of it is unfortunately there aren't many options with the case of Toa. We've just got to assume and hope there is a chance that basically there is a possibility of her being reunited with the pod. But the reality of it is her strengths and her stress levels will only held up for so long anyway. It's not like this is an ongoing event that an animal can sustain. So, yes, there will be careful need to balance the ideal outcome of basically releasing an animal back to its natal pod and hopefully making sure that we've got a successful outcome versus managing the individual welfare needs of an animal should it find itself starting to decline because of either inappropriate nutrition or because basically at the end of the day, stress levels have become far too much.
Right.
So it's, we can only hope for the best, but at the moment we've got a long way to go and we really need to find that pod in the first instance to have any hope really of a happy ending.
Well, my final question is, if we can't find that pod, is it possible in the orca world for have another pod except Toa and foster it?
Possibly, yes. I mean, I think it's fair to say that in many marine mammals, not just orca, you do see examples of not only same species adoptions, but in some cases, interspecies adoptions. So, for example, there has been in the Gulf over the last year or so, frequent reportings of bottlenose dolphins with a common dolphin calf that they seem to, for whatever reason, somehow adopted or something, because it's part of them, their pod, and it's been with them for quite some time now. And we do see that happening. The problem we have, the biggest challenge we have, is that it being adopted into another part, into another pod or another group is only part of the story, isn't it? Because for it to survive, it needs to feed. So that pod that it gets adopted into would need to ensure that it has a lactating female that's able to feed the calf. So it's not just a case of you can find another group of orca and introduce it, because I'm not saying socially that wouldn't work, but if there's no mechanism to feed that calf, it's going to have a pretty miserable demise, unfortunately, if it can't feed. So that's why I think, although there has been multiple reportings of various different potential pods that have been located around New Zealand over this last 48 or so hours, the importance of finding the right pod, or at least having assurance that whichever pod it goes to has an actively lactating female to feed it, is the difference between releasing an animal into a good environment versus potentially releasing it back only to staff. And of course, nobody would want that. Nobody would want that outcome. So I think it's really important that the time that they're taking to assess that they've got the right pod is incredibly important, because if they don't, we might feel better for ourselves for saying, yes, we've released it back, but we'd only be releasing it back to basically starve. And of course, as I say, nobody would want that.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Karen. And we would love to see a happy ending to this.
Absolutely. And I, as I say, we still have some hope at this point. I think the fact that we've got a different stance on this scenario, where the animal has been given electrolytes and it has been given nutrition and is obviously having careful monitoring, there are active veterinarians involved in this process, and I think that's a big, big advantage to previous scenarios where we haven't necessarily have active veterinarians involved in the process. So all up, I think the Toa is in as good a condition as he can be at the moment. We've just got to be mindful of that stress, even with appropriate nutrition, is not good for any of us. We know that as mammals ourselves. So the sooner we can relocate an animal, a pod that has a female in it, ideally the mother, that can feed, the greater the chance of successful outcome.
That was Professor Karen Stockin from Massey University. And in the Department of Conservation's latest updates over at 11:30 this morning, Marine Species Manager Ian Angus said support has been significant, but with worsening weather conditions, people are urged to keep away unless they are directly involved with the operation. And people are also asked not to fly drones over the site. Doc also said anyone who sights orca pods off the lower North Island's west coast, particularly between Wellington and Taranaki, are urged to provide as much information as possible to the department through the email wellington@doc.govt.nz or by calling the department's emergency hotline on 0800 Doc Hot or 0800 362 468 and provide any essential information, including the location, the direction of travel of the animals, and photographs or videos which clearly shows the saddle or the back markings of the animals and their dorsal fins.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.